All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Samaches 68. We are picking up on Samachesai number base 67b, and we're picking up Emirat Hashem 5 lines up from the bottom, right by the two dots. Our shir this morning, sponsored by Alan and Sue Meyerowitz, in honor of the birth of their granddaughter, Na'ava Perel. We had the schus to name yesterday, Baruch Hashem. She should grow up to be a beautiful Bas Yisrael. You should be Zocha to see her enter into mitzvahs, into chuppah. She should be a source of nachas for your family, for all of Klal Yisrael, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Amen.
Also, opportunity to thank Alan for the tissues. Right, Alan? Again, again, we definitely have Baruch Hashem, Kenai Nahara, high incidence of tissue usage. Not high incidence, but tissue consumption in the Daf Yomi Shir here. Baruch Hashem, is that, I don't know if it's all-time high. Have you measured the stats? It's getting there. And Baruch Hashem, Alan is able to keep up with the supply. So, Alan Yashir Kayach. Let's begin. So, Amarav. So, we'll say we're still in the Sugya of Yeyosh. And we're going to be in the Sugya of Yeyosh for a little bit, still going into a little bit tomorrow also, but hopefully between today and tomorrow we'll begin to kind of bring together some of these topics. So remember the Mishnah said, Ein ha-gonif achar ha-gan mishalim tashlim mekefos. The Mishnah had an interesting halacha that if you steal from a thief, you don't have to pay kefil. Now we'll discuss what you do have to pay. So remember again, this is a gonim in a ganav, so doesn't pay. So Amarav, so Rav qualifies this and says, Lo shanu ela lifnei yeyush. That's only true if you stole from the ganav before yeyush. Avala achar yeyush. But if you stole from the ganav after yeyush, so kano ganav rishon. The ganav sheni mishalim teshlumi kefel the ganav rishon. So we'll say, remember. So when do we say that a goniv min a ganav doesn't have to pay kefel? That's only when the original owner of the item has not yet experienced yeyush. But if the owner of the, meaning when we say the owner, the original owner experiences yeyush, then what does that mean? That means ganav rishon, the first thief, acquired the item. That means when ganav sheni steals from ganav rishon, he's essentially what? Stealing the object from its technical new owner, and as such would have to go ahead and pay the ganav rishon kefa. So again, one more time. So we'll call him Ruvain is the original owner of the object. There's ganav rishon, ganav sheni. First thief, second thief. So first thief steals from Ruvain. And Ganav Sheni then steals from Ganav Rishon. So the Mishnah says that when Ganav Sheni steals from Ganav Sheni doesn't have to pay kefal to Ganav Rishon. Rav is just qualifying that statement and says that's only true if Reuven, the owner, has not yet had Yeyush. But if Reuven had Yeyush, then Ganav Rishon effectively becomes the owner of the object. When Ganav Rishon becomes the owner of the object, when Ganav Sheni steals it from him, Ganav Sheni is stealing the object from the owner of the object and never has to pay kefal, ultimately, again, to Ganav Rishon. Some Rav Sheshes, who was listening to this, Rav Sheshes says, Amina, I'm pretty sure Kinayim v'shachir Rav Amar l'hashmaisa. I'm pretty sure Rav was half asleep when he said this statement. In other words, I respectfully disagree, right? And, again, I'm pretty sure that is not the correct halacha. This time, because we learned Amar Rabbi Akiva, Bibnei Ma Amar Torah Tavrachu Machar Mishalim Teshlumi Arba V'chamisha. So Rabbi Akiva said, why is it that when you steal, slaughter, and sell, right, the triple S, when you steal, slaughter, and sell, a shar or a seh, that you have to pay a 4 or 5 time penalty payment. Because ultimately, again, I will say this lashon over here is very interesting. Nishtarish bechit, Rashi says, also shrushin. You've become rooted in sin. You've become rooted in sin. Kilomar, nischazik bechit, shekano o mahaneo masak. So Gemara says, what does this mean? So, Amos, so what does it mean you become rooted in sin? If you want to say ultimately that this is before the owner had Yeyush, top of Samaches, Ni'ika Nishtarish. So we'll say again, now we assume that when Rabbi Akiva says that you are Nishtarish Bechit, we are assuming what that means is that you become totally vested in the sin. So the Gemara says, when are you becoming vested in the sin? If you say it's before the owner had Yeyush, then I'm not totally vested in the sin. Why? Because Lamaisa, I don't own the object. The object is still owned by its original owner. Elul Achriyush. Rather, you have to say that when Rabbi Akiva said that I have to pay Arba V'chamisha because I'm rooted in the sin, that must be Achriyush. Because Achriyush, then I own the object. But if that's the case, that it's achar yeyush, and if you hold that's what, that ultimately yeyush is kona, why do I have to pay 4 and 5 times penalty payment? After all, both say why? Shalohu toveach, shalohu mocher. Both say, here's the interesting catch 22. So on one hand, you want to say that I can't become the shtarish b'chit, I can't become rooted in the sin until after this yeyush. Because after this yeyush, then I've mamash fully, I, the thief, have fully acquired the item. But if I fully acquired the item, then what? Then when I sell it and slaughter it, then what? Then lemaisa, again, what am I selling and slaughtering? My own animal. If I'm selling and slaughtering my own animal, then why should I be chayiv arba v'chamisha? To which the Gemara says, amri kedu amar Rava. To which Rava says, no. What nishtarish b'chet means is mipnei sheshana b'chet. Hachanami mipnei sheshana b'chet. Rabbi said, the issue over here is, the reason you have to be arba v'chamisha is because when a person does that, he's becoming rooted in sin. What does that mean? That ultimately, again, not only did he steal the object, but now what is he doing? He's going ahead and now what? He's slaughtering it and selling it. He's become so embedded in sin, and the penalty ultimately, again, for becoming so embedded in sin is what? That he has to pay the penalty payment of Arba V'Chamisha. So Tashma, Utvacho Macharo. So the Pasuk says, if you go ahead and you steal a shor or a seh, and you slaughter it or you sell it, just like slaughtering cannot be returned. In other words, you can't reverse the process of slaughter. So to Rabbi Osei, you're only chayev for a sale if what? If the sale is irreversible. Says the Gemara, so let's analyze this. When is there an irreversible sale? Imos. So we'll say, if you say that the sale is taking place before Yeyush, then what? Then why would you say it's not Chozer? Of course it's Chozer, because it will say why. If it's before Yeyush, then what? Then what? What's the nature of the sale from the Ganav to a third party? It's a void sale. Why is it a void sale? Because he's selling something that, technically speaking, does not belong to him. Rather, you have to say that the biblically paradigmatic case of Mechira must be talking about what? A case where after the owner experienced Yeyush, therefore the thief becomes the real owner of the object, and if that's the case, then he has the right to sell it. And if you want to say ultimately again, that's what? That the thief acquires the object. So let's remember again, at that point in time, why does he have to pay Dalit Vehe? After all, what? Shalohu Tobeach. Shalohu Mocher. We'll say at the end of the day, if that's the case that Yeyush is Kona, we'll say you're like a little bit of this catch 22. On one hand, if you say it's Lifnei Yeyush, then ultimately again, the Mechira itself is not a complete Mechira, because the Mechira is void. You can't sell something that doesn't belong to you. On the other hand, if it's Achar Yeyush, then Lemaisa, why should I be Chayev Dalet Vehei? Why? Because the assumption is it's mine. If it's mine, then Lemaisa, again, it's true, I'm going to be Chayev Keren, let's be clear, or maybe even Kefel, but why should I be Chayev Dalet Vehei? Kedem Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman said, no, what's the case? Prat l'shehikna l'shloshim yom. Hachanami prat l'shehikna l'shloshim. So we'll say, actually, what the Pasuk is coming to exclude is what kind of case? It's a case where ultimately, again, the thief sold the object to a third party for 30 days. That's the case that the Torah is coming to exclude, where you would not be chayiv dalet vehei for such a sale. In other words, the only type of sale that you're chayiv for is what kind of sale? A permanent sale. But if there was a temporary sale, you would not be chayiv dalet for hay for such a transaction. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's actually right across in Rashi. Prat l'shekna lo l'shoshim yom kilomar li'olam lifnei yeyush. Really, we're talking about over here where this transaction, the sale, is taking place before yeyush. V'hai eino chozeres tiktani lo l'miudecha d'lo ahanu ma'asov da'af agav d'lo ahanu chayvi rachman ho'il v'shana b'chit. So we'll say, the reality is, says the Gemara, at the end of the day, even though the thief is selling the item before Yeyush, and technically speaking it's not his, and technically speaking it's avoidable sale, the Torah is still going to make him chayev. Why? Why? Very simple answer. Why? Because he's a thief. Because it's a penalty payment. Because we'll say, this is a patch. This is a patch. So the Torah is giving the patch, even though what? Even though technically speaking, the transaction does not work. So this is interesting. What the Gemara is saying over here, what essentially the Gemara is saying is, the Gemara is trying to look at the penalty payment through the lens of some type of transactional framework. To which the Gemara essentially says, you don't have to look at it through a transactional framework for one simple reason. This is a knas. And we'll say, so knasos, penalty payments, need not follow some type of normative financial transactional framework. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, even though it's before Yeyush, what's going to happen? Even though it's before Yeyush, if the thief sells it, he's still going to have to pay Dalid Vehe. The case that the Torah is coming to exclude is what case? The case, El Mi'ute Hecha, to the Machar Ganav Lokeach, El Alasas Bamalachar Shloshim Yom, to who Kisiris Ba'amah. So we'll say, but the case that the Torah is coming to exclude is what? Where you make a sale, let's say, for 30 days. In that type of situation, then the halacha will be that the thief will not be chayiv dalid vehe. Why? Because Lamaisa, at the end of the day, that is not a complete sale. Rather, again, that is just going to be like a schiros case. You'll be chayiv, of course, still because of the act of theft, but you will not be chayiv dalid vehe because of the mechira. Says the Gemara. What? No, not just look like a.
It's not a real sale.
It has to. It has to look like a real sale. Correct. So it says the Gemara Meisvei Ganav Uba Acher Uganavos. We'll say now we raise the kasha from the Brayso. So what happens from the Mishnah? So if a Ganav, right, thief one stole the object Uba Acher Uganavo, and what happens? Another person, a thief number two, steals from thief number one. So what's the halacha? Meshayim Tashlumei Kefal. So the first thief has to pay kefal. But ultimately, again, the second party only has to pay keren, only has to pay principal. Okay, so we're going to go through a series of cases now, and then we'll analyze them each on their own. So that's case number one. Ganav umachar. So we'll say, let's say thief number one stole the object. He sold it. He stole it and he sold it. Uba achar uganaval. So we'll say, so now what happens? Another thief number two in this case, instead of stealing it from thief number one, who does he steal it from? He steals it from the purchaser, right? He steals it from the party that bought it from thief number one. So what's the halacha? Harisho mishlayim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So we'll say party thief number one will pay arba v'chamisha. Vashini mishlayim tashlumi kefel. And we'll say ultimately the second thief will have to pay kefel. Next. We'll see to who and to when. We'll see to that. Next case. Ganav etavach, so I will say thief number one stole an object and he slaughtered it. And what happens? And he sold it. Uba achar uginavo. So I will say now thief number two comes and steals it from the purchaser. Hadisha mishayim tashlumi dalad vehe. So I will say the first thief has to be dalad vehe. That's obvious, right? Because he's the one who stole it and slaughtered it and sold it. Vasheni eno mishayim tashlumi kefel ela keren bilbad. And the second thief does not pay kefel. Rather, he only pays keren. Okay, so the Gemara says, Katani Mitzias. And I will say now, well, we're going to draw our attention now to this middle case. What's the middle case? Ganav Umachar, thief number one, stole and sold the object. Uba Achar Uganavo, thief number two comes along and sells and steals it from the purchaser. So Arisha Mashalim Tashlimi Dalit Behe. So the first thief has to pay Dalit Behe, that we understand. Van Sheni Mishalim Tashlimi Kefo. And ultimately, again, the second thief will have to pay kefel. So the Gemara says, imas. Now, all right, let's analyze this. When is this true? Now, the first thief I got, meaning I understand that case. First thief is going to have to pay dalad vehe because he stole the object from the owner and he sold it. Makes total sense. Now, again, second thief is coming and stealing it from the purchaser. So now the Mishnah, the Bryce is telling me that the thief has to pay kefal. So Gemara says, imas. Now, what it means in this context is, under what circumstances is thief number two going to have to pay kefal? So, ile mas lifnei yeush. If you want to say that thief number two has to pay kefal before the original owner ever had yeush, so sheni amai mashayim tashlumi kefal, shinu rishus below yeush mi'ika leman da'amar dekani. So we'll say, if it's before the original owner had yeush, then why would thief number two have to pay kefal? After Abu said, this would be a case of what? This would be a case of shinui rishus, a change of domain, without yeush. And Abu said, does anyone hold that a change of rishus without yeush, does anyone say that the purchaser would acquire the object? In other words, Abu said, in order for thief number two to have to pay kefal, what has to be a reality? Let's be reality. The purchaser of the item, the purchaser from whom he stole, has to be the real owner. In other words, you never pay kefal unless you're stealing an object from a legitimate owner. So in order for thief number two to have to pay kefal, that means the purchaser who bought it from thief number one has to be the rightful owner of the object. So when does this occur? If you want to say that all of this is happening before the original owner had yeush, then guess what? The purchaser who bought it from thief number one is not what? is not the real owner. If he's not the real owner, then lamaisa thief number two should not be chayiv kefal. Because we also remember, what purchaser really has is a case of shua, we call shinui rishus, a change of domain, without yeyush. And I will say, as it stands now, everyone is going to agree that shinui rishus without yeyush does not affect acquisition. So the Gemara says, Ella pshita la'achar yeyush. Rather, it has to be talking about what? Where thief number two is stealing it from purchaser after original owner had yeyush. And if you want to say that's what? That yeyush has the ability to allow the thief to acquire it. So if that's the case, amai mishalim dalet vehei didehu. So now we go back. So now let's analyze this. Now the Gemara is suggesting that in order for thief number two to go ahead and pay kefel, what has to have happened? The original owner has to have had yeyush. But one second. If the original owner had yeyush, then why should thief number one be chayiv dalet vehei? Thief number one should be chayiv kefel. But what? Once he stole it, if there's yeyush, then what? He becomes, thief number one becomes the owner. Which means that when he subsequently either sells it or slaughters it, whose animal is he selling or slaughtering? His own. If that's the case, why should be chayiv dalet vehei? To which the Gemara says, Vesu, furthermore, Vesu diktani resha. Furthermore, look at the beginning of this braisa. Ganav uba achar uganavo. If a thief stole it, right, and someone else stole it from thief number one, so ultimately thief number one pays kefel, and ultimately the second thief only has to pay keren. So one says, one second, michti, la'achar yeyush kamina. Now you've just established that the braisa is a case of Mosai, where the original owner had yeyush. Watch this. If the original owner had yeyush, b'sagadayt cho yeyush kona, sheni amai mishalim ela keren. Amai eno mishalim ela keren. So we'll say, if you hold that the yeyush kona, then what? Then it turns out that thief number one acquired the object, therefore he's the real owner, which means, this is wild, that when thief number two steals from thief number one, watch read the halacha, he should have to pay kefel. It's wild stuff. So it says the Gemara, elalav shmamina, yeyush lo kani. Rather, both said the only logical explanation we have is that what? Is that it must be that yeyush is not kona. It must be that even when there's yeyush, yeyush does not affect acquisition on behalf of the thief. The kashya l'rav. And ultimately, again, this poses a question to Rav. Because Rabbi, remember, Rav was of the opinion. Remember, Rabbi, remember how this whole discussion started. This discussion started because the Mishnah said that when thief B steals from thief A, thief B is not chayiv kefal. And Rav came along and said, that's only true if it was before yeyush. But if thief number two stole it from thief number one after original owner had yeyush, then thief number one becomes the owner. Thief number two becomes someone who's stealing from the owner of an object. They were asked to pay kefal. The Gemara is showing that obviously that's not true. This price shows that's not true because this price is operating in a case where there was yeyush. Yet what? Thief number two is not chayiv kefal. You see from here what? Yeyush lo kani. That even where original owner does have yeyush, the thief does not acquire title to the object. So says the Gemara, Bekash Amar Rava. So Rava says, one second. V'tizbira ha-mitaratzti. So are you assuming that the wording, that the way we phrase this price is the correct way? Elo diktoni seifa. Rather, look at the seifa. Ganav v'tavach uba'achar u'gnav. I'm supposed to listen to this. What did the seifa say? If, let's say again, thief number one stole the object, he stole and slaughtered. Right? Stole and slaughtered and sold. Uba'achar u'gnav. So what I say, here's the case. Thief number one steals the object, and he slaughters and he sells it to purchaser. Then thief number two comes along and what? Steals it from the purchaser. Uba'achar u'gnav. So thief number two steals it from the purchaser. So say thief number one has to pay arba v'chamisha. The sheni eino mishalim ela keren. And yet what? The second thief only has to pay keren. So says the Gemara, one second. So this case is very novel because umi ikalaman damer shinui ma'isela kona. So we'll say, see, here's the issue. In this case, where thief number one stole it, slaughtered and sold it. So we'll say you have both elements. You have what's called shinoi hashem, right? Shinoi maisa, which means what? Rabbi Osai, like we saw yesterday's daf. The object has fundamentally changed, right? The animal has gone. The animal has gone from an animal to a piece of meat. And you also have shinoi mice, and you also have shinoi makom. So Moses says, remember, based on yesterday's daf, everybody agrees that what? That lamaisa, again, when the item undergoes a change, so yeyush will be effective to allow the new person to acquire the object. If that's the case, again, then lamaisa, why is the second thief only liable? Why is the second thief only liable for Karen? To which the Gemara says, Elali Olam, kula lifnei yeyush. Rather, what you have to say is this entire braisa is talking about where what? The original owner did not yet experience yeyush. He didn't have yeyush yet. The eifach seifa lemitziasa, or mitziasa leseifa. And I both say, essentially reverse the rulings of the middle and last cases. Ve'imachi, here's how you have to read it. Ganavu machar uba'achar uginavu. So we'll say, if a thief number one stole it, and he sold it to a third party, and now second thief comes along, and steals it from the third party, from the purchaser. So what's the halacha? Harish shom eshayim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So the first thief has to pay four arba v'chamisha. Why? I both say, because again, he's the one who stole it, and sold it. Esbi arba chamisha, v'asheni eino mishalim ela keren. Prabhu say the second one only has to pay keren. Why? Why? Because we'll say, how are we setting it up now? This is what? Lifnei yeyush. Lifnei yeyush. Therefore, the shinoi rishus belo yeyush lo kani. Because we'll say, this is a case of what? This is a case of shinoi rishus. This is a case where the object has changed domains, but what? There's been no yeyush. So I will say, what is the status of shinoi rishus without yeyush? It's lo kani. It does not acquire, right? The third party does not have, so I will say, therefore, now we understand. Therefore, in this case over here, there's been no yeyush. Therefore, when the thief steals it, sells it to the third party, is the third party the real owner of this object? No. Why? Because the owner has not yet experienced the yeyush. Therefore, when thief number two ultimately goes ahead and what? Steals it from the purchaser, at most he's going to be chayef for is keren. He has to go ahead and return the principal, but there's no obligation of kefel. Well, listen to this. But yet, ganav atavach, if thief number one stole it, slaughtered it, and sold it, uba achar uganavo. And what happens? And now both say, and now thief number two steals it from the purchaser. So in that case, harisho mishalim teshlumi arba v'chamisha. So both say, in that case over here, the first thief number one is going to have to be arba v'chamisha. That makes sense. V'ashini mishalim teshlumi kefal. The second thief is going to have to pay kefal. Now both say, now what bothers you about that? What bothers you about that? Why should he have to pay kefal after we're setting this up as what? As lifnei yeyush. If it's lifnei yeyush, then why does thief number two have to be careful? Oh, dekanye b'shinoi maisa. Because we'll say, what's different in this case? In this case over here, remember what's occurred. See, in case number one, the animal was stolen and sold. So it has experienced a difference in rishus, but what? The animal is the same. No shinoi maisa. Case number two, the animal was slaughtered, which means the animal itself has undergone a fundamental change. When the animal has undergone a fundamental change, even if what? Even if there has not yet been yeyush on the part of the owner, there is still an acquisition. Therefore, in this case number one, when thief number one steals it, he's going to have to go ahead and pay the owner arba v'chamisha. Then he slaughters it and sells it to another person. We'll call him purchaser. Thief number two steals it from purchaser. Now, both say, now when purchaser purchases it, so what's going to happen? That purchaser now becomes the owner. Why does he become the owner? Because it's been a shinoi maisa. Because the object has undergone a fundamental change. He now becomes the owner, which means that when thief number two steals it from the purchaser, he is considered as if what? He's stealing it from the owner, and therefore what? He has to pay kefal. Beautiful. Beautiful. Says the Gemara. Therefore, again, he pays it. And now we've set up the entire braisa as talking about the fnei yeyush. Mamish, like artwork. That Papa Amar.
And the buyer doesn't know that it was stolen originally. The buyer does not know that.
We're assuming the buyer does not know, correct. We're assuming the purchaser does not know that he's dealing like on the meat black market over here. Yeah, correct. Correct. So Rapapa says, because you know it comes with 25 hesherim, even if it's stolen. Right. You know, it has everything. So says the Gemara, Rapapa says, the olam lo seifach. So Rapapa says, no, don't switch it, right? Don't switch it. Don't switch around the braisa. Rav Papa Amar, the olam lo seifach, don't switch it around. The olam lo seifach. Seifa beis shamai. So now we're going to go back a little bit to what we learned earlier. The seifa's talking about beis shamai. The amri, shinui bimkoma omeid. Rav Papa says, beis shamai is of the opinion that even when the animal undergoes a shinui maisa, still nevertheless, beis shamai is of the opinion that shinui maisa does not remove the object from the original owner's possession. So Rabbi say, just so you understand this plays out. So Bisham is of the opinion that even if thief number one steals it, slaughters it, and sells it, purchaser is not the owner of that object. Because Bisham holds that even Shinui Maisa, without Yeyush, does not remove the object from the possession of the original owner. And therefore, ihachi, if that's the case, and therefore, Abosai, using that logic, then what would be the halacha? That when ganav number two steals from the purchaser, what would he be chayiv? Right? No, not even kefel, just keren. Because remember, you only could be chayiv kefel if you're stealing from the owner of the object. But according to Beis Shammai, even with shinui maisa, the new owner, the purchaser, is not the owner of the object. And if we're going to just going to be chayiv and keren, if that's the case, kasher eisha mitzias l'rab. So we'll say, if that's the case, here's the problem. The first and second cases of the braisa pose a kashan rav. Amar Rav Zavid said, the olam kula lifnei yeyush. So as is, let's go back to what we were saying before. Really, the entire brisa is taking place before Yeush. V'hacha ma'askin, and what's happening over here? Shenes yaish. Oh, listen to Zerubbabel say. Shenes yaishu habaylim v'lo keach, v'lo nes yaishu v'ganov. Oh, listen to how amazing this is. You see, up until now, we were assuming that if there's Yeush is going to occur at the beginning of the process. So we assume that there are two constructs for this case. There either is Yeush or there's no Yeush. But either way, when is that Yeush happening? That Yeush is happening when? Lemaisa, again, at the time that it's stolen. Right? Do you want to say, not necessarily. This is actually a case of deferred Yeush. What's the case of deferred Yeush of Osain? Where when the object was stolen, the owner originally didn't have Yeush. But by the time it reached the hands of the purchaser, then the owners did have Yeush. So once I see here, understand this case, the Yeush didn't occur at the time that the object was stolen, slaughtered, or sold, but Lamaisa, by the time it got to the hands of the purchasers, now the owners have had Yeush. So the Gemara says, watch this. So we'll say, listen to this. So now at this point in time, now by the time ultimately again, so therefore, why does this help us? Because we'll say, remember, you see, what we were stuck with is, we understood that if it's a case of Yeush, so if that's the case, then thief number one should not be Chayiv Arba V'Chamisha. Why? Oh, because if there's Yeush, then the thief owns it. If the thief owns it, he's not Chayv Arba V'Chamisha. So it's like, let me just clarify this. What we were stuck on is, we saw that there's no such thing as a case where Ganav number one could be Chayv Arba V'Chamisha, and Ganav number two could be Chayv Kefel. Because Iman of Shach, if there's Yeush, if the Baal had Yeush, that means Ganav number one ultimately acquired the item. If he acquired the item, there's no Arba V'Chamisha. If it was no Yeush, then ultimately, again, a thief number one has to pay Arba V'Chamisha, but thief number two doesn't have to pay Kefal. Why? Because purchaser wasn't the owner, because ultimately, again, the original owner still retained ownership. It says here something amazing. There is a case. There's a case of where what? Yeush didn't happen immediately. So if Yeush didn't occur immediately, so therefore at the time that the item was stolen, there is no Yeush. Therefore what? When thief number one stole, slaughtered, and sold, then what's going to be the halacha? There wasn't Yeush, therefore he has to be Arba V'Chamisha. But however, again, the Bailim were Misyeish at the time the object reached the hands of the purchaser. Oh, which means what, Rabbi Osai? Which means then that the purchaser becomes the owner of the object. And there was Yeush, which means what? When thief number two comes along and steals the object, then what, Rabbi Osai? It's chayv what? Kefel. Beautiful. I mean, not beautiful, you understand? It's bad stuff. But it's beautiful from a technical level. Now you found the case where what? Where thief number one could be chayv arba v'chamisha, and thief number two could be chayiv kefal. Amazing. The have the yeush shashin erushos. Velo teima misham deba inan yeush shashin erushos. So we'll say, don't think, by the way, this is because you need both yeush and shashin erushos. So we'll say, I just want to be clear. It's not the pshad that in order for the thief to acquire an object, you need both yeush and a change of rishos. Ela, afilu b'yeush l'chudei, nami kai gabi ganav. Rabbi say, remember again, even once the owner has yeush, the thief acquires the object even without an additional shinei rishus. Ela de la mashkachas de mishami tarvayo ganav rishon the ganav sheni ela bahachi. Rabbi say, so now this is amazing. So again, the Gemara is just saying, I want to be clear. The Gemara is saying, once the original owner has yeush, then by definition, the thief acquires the object. In other words, there is not the need for an additional change of domain in order for Yeyosh to kick in. The only reason why the Gemara has to bring in Shinui Rishus over here is why Rabosai, because this is the only case that you could construct where what? Where both the Gan of Rishon is going to be Chayiv Dalet Vehei, and the Gan of Sheni is going to be Chayiv ultimately Kefel.
What about the Shinui Maisai? Doesn't that make the Yeyosh irrelevant? What's his slaughters and
So correct. If there's Shinui Maisa in Erechinani, what the Gemara is trying to come up is even with the case of just Ganav Umachar. Let's say there wasn't Shinui Maisa. You would be. Because remember, the case would be where he just stole it and sold it. So there's no Shinui Maisa because the animal is intact. But the Maisa Rabosai. So again, it's just a fascinating construct. So the Gemara is just pointing out that you could have a case ultimately again where the Ganav Rishon would be Chayiv Dalet Vehei, Ganav Sheni would be Chayiv ultimately again Kepel, and that's a case of ultimately where there's deferred Yeyosh, where Yeyosh doesn't occur at the time when the animal is originally stolen, but Yeyosh occurs sometime later on when the item reaches the possession of the secondary owner. So we'll say, for our purposes, again, what the issues that keep on kind of stirring around over here is A, what's the status of Yeyosh? What's the status of Yeyosh? Meaning, does Yeyosh ultimately allow for a Ganav to acquire? That's issue number one. Issue number two is this ongoing machlokes b'shan b'silal about Shinui Maisa. Remember, again, we're taking it for granted that Shinui Maisa affects acquisition, but we've seen that there is a shita of Beishamai that Shinui Maisa does not affect acquisition. Shinui Maisa b'mkoma omedes. And all of this comes down to a fundamental machlokes as to the level of acquisitory powers. Is that a word? Acquisitory?
Good.
Yeah. Acquisitory powers, ultimately, again, of a ganav. That's we'll say, at the heart of this issue is how much ability to acquire this ganav. So we're not finished. Itmar. Hamocha lifnei yeyosh. So we'll say, listen to this. Hamocha lifnei yeyosh. If a ganav sells the object before yeyosh, what's the halacha? Rav Nachman amar chayiv. So Moshe Rav Nachman said, the ganav is chayiv dalet vehei. Rav Sheshes amar potter. Rav Sheshes says, you're potter. So Rav Nachman amar, so Moshe, we'll have to analyze. Rav Nachman says, you're chayiv dalet vehei. Why? So because the Gemara says, umachara amar rachmano v'hazavin. Because ultimately, again, the Torah says, and he sold it. In other words, we'll say, Rav Nachman will say that even if you sell before Yeyosh, you're still going to be chayiv. Why? Because the Torah says you sell it. Machara means, once the ganav sells it, it doesn't matter whether the owner had Yeyosh or didn't have Yeyosh, you're going to be chayiv dalet vehei. So the Gemara says, lo shna lifnei yeyosh, lo shna la'achar yeyosh. So Rav Nachman says it makes no difference whether the ganav sold the animal before yeyosh or after yeyosh, you're going to be chayiv dalet vehei. Rav Sheshes amar potter. Rav Sheshes says that if you sold the animal before the owner had yeyosh, you're going to be potter. Why? The Gemara says potter. Chiyuvei la'achar yeyoshu dahanu maisav. So we'll say Rav Sheshes is an interesting shita. Rav Sheshes says that you're going to be potter. Why? Because the only time you're chayiv from mechira is when Rabosai, when the thief engaged in a legitimate sale. Legitimate. You understand what I mean? Not legitimate is the wrong word. When the thief has engaged in a bona fide sale, right? So, but remember, we'll say when is the sale a bona fide sale? Only if what? Only if the owner had yeyosh. Because if the owner did not have yeyosh, then what's the status of the thief's sale? It's irrelevant. It's invalid. Meaning that you can't sell something that by definition you don't know. So we'll say, here this fundamental machlokas. So again, remember, we're talking about now a case. I stole an object from Reuven. Reuven has not yet had yeyosh. I sell the animal. I sell the animal with nei yeyosh. Am I chayiv dalet vehei? Rav Nachman says yes. Because the Torah says, you're only chayiv dalet vehei when you steal it and you sell it. It doesn't make a difference if neyesh, la'achrayesh, if you sell it, you're going to be chayiv. Rav Sheshes says, no, you're only chayiv for a sale that is mamish a sale. But if the sale is not a sale, then I'm not chayiv keifel, but I'm not chayiv dalet vehei. When is the sale a valid sale? Only when? Only lemaisa achar yeyosh, because after yeyosh, I become the owner of the object, I the thief, and therefore I have the ability to sell it. Before yeyosh, I don't have the ability to sell it. Dumya detvicha. Because Rav Sheshes will say ultimately again that remember, the Torah compares tvicha and mechira. So therefore, again, mechira, the sale, has to be comparable to the slaughtering. So the Gemara says, dumya detvicha. Ba'inon dahanu masav. Rabbah said, just like when I shech the animal, so shechting is a valid bona fide act, so too the sale in order for him to be chayiv dalet vehei has to be a valid bona fide act as well. Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, Mana amina lehu, from where do I glean my shita, this sanyo? Amar Rabbi Akiva mipnei ma'abna Torah, tavachu macham shan dalet vehei. So why is the Torah says that when you stole, slaughtered, and sold an animal, that you have to pay dalet vehei, mipnei shenishtari shpachit, because of us I became rooted in the sin. Se'imas. So when do I become rooted in the sin? Ilei malifnei yeyush, if you want to say it's before yeyush, miyik and nishtarish. So we'll say, before yeyush, have I really become rooted in the sin? Not really. Why? Why? Because the animal's not mine. I haven't really acquired it. Alav achayush, rather it must be that what? That it's only achar yeyush. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, mipnei shashana b'chit. Rava says, no. Nishtar shechit, according to the Rabbi Akiva, doesn't mean over here, Rabbi say that after when I become the owner of the object, am I embedded in sin? But rather, again, nishtar shechit means, Rabbi say that when you steal an animal, and then you slaughter it and sell it, since you are a repeat offender, in other words, you are committing multiple offenses over here. You've stolen, you've slaughtered, and you've sold stuff that's not yours, then lemaisa, again, you are going to go ahead and be chayiv dalet vehei, because you've gone ahead and what? Because you've gone ahead and repeated offenses. So the Gemara says, Tashma. So now again, so we're still in this fundamental machlokas, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says, when you steal and sell the animal, you are going to be chayiv dalet vehei, no matter if the owner did have yeyush or didn't have yeyush. Torah says, umacharo. You're chayiv for selling it. Makes a difference if yeyush or achayush. Rav Sheshes says, no, you're only chayiv for selling the item when? When your actions result in a bona fide sale, which is when? Only la'achar yeyush. But if you sold lifnei yeyush, where your actions are meaningless, you're chayiv for theft, but you're not going to be chayiv dalet vehei. To which the Gemara says, let's analyze this. The Gemara says, Tashma, utvacho macharo. Torah says, talking about the thief, that he slaughtered it and he sold it. Matvicha shenu chozeres. Both say, just like slaughtering, is irreversible. Af mechiro sheino chazeres. So to Rabbi say, you're only chayiv for a sale if the sale, so to speak, is irreversible. Well, now, what does it mean the sale is irreversible? In other words, Rabbi say, which means ultimately again, emas, when is a sale quote unquote irreversible? So we'll say, if the sale was done before the original owner had yeyush, then it's certainly reversible. Why is it reversible? Because it was never his to sell. Eva la'achar yeyush. Rather, I will say, must be what? Must be that same as after yeyush. Ushmamina chiyuba la'achar yeyush. And therefore, what do you see from here? That the obligation for dalet vehei only occurs after the original owner had yeyush. Tirgim Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman explains this case. Prat l'shehikna lo shloshim yom. So we'll say, no, Rav Nachman comes to say, what does it come to exclude? It comes to exclude, we'll say, the kind of case where, let's say, the thief sells it to the purchaser for 30 days. So we'll say, in such a circumstance, that's where everybody's going to agree that you're not going to be chayav for such a sale like that. Why? Because that's not a sale, that's called a rental. V'af Rav Elazar sabrei chiyubi la'achar yeyushu. And even Rav Elazar holds that you're only chayav for dalet vehei after yeyush. To Amar Rav Elazar, because Rav Elazar said, teida. Shestam Gneva Yeyosh Bailimu. Oh, Rabbi say, this is such a game changing statement. You know, sometimes a person says a few words and those few words alter an entire universe. These words alter an entire universe. Rabbi Elazar introduces us, he says, you know, by the way, Stam Gneva Yeyosh Bailimu. Right? You know that under normal circumstances when an object is stolen, we assume that the Bailim were Miyayish. Wow. Says Rashi, Teda Shestam Gineva, Miyad Misyayishin. We assume, Rabbi Elazar, that under normal circumstances, when an object is stolen, most people are Miyayish from that object. And therefore, again, V'imacharin Ganav La'achar Miyad Kana Di'ikatarti. Because therefore, Rabbi Elazar, under normal circumstances, if the Ganav steals an object and sells it immediately, we actually assume that Lamaisa, again, the purchaser acquires that object. Why? Because you have two factors. Yeyush. Number one, you have yeyush. Because we're both saying, why do you have yeyush? Because we are assuming that stam gneva yeyush bailim. We are assuming that under most circumstances, when an object is stolen, most people despair of recovering their stolen objects. And furthermore, shinui rishus. We're both saying, furthermore, what is there? There is a change of domain. So we'll listen to this. Shari Amra Torah, back to the Gemara. Shari Amra Torah, Tavach Umachar Mashan Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha. So we'll say, because here Rabbi Lo says like this. See, here's the intriguing part. See, the Torah, the way the Torah is set up is, the Torah says that I steal an object from Reuven. I steal it, I slaughter it, I sell it. What am I chayiv? Dalid v'hei. They're both like, the Torah makes this statement without any qualification. And the Torah says that pretty much in every single case where I steal an animal and I slaughter it and I sell it, I'm going to be chayiv dalid v'hei. But how could the Torah make such a blanket statement? After all, v'dilma lo iyash. Now, how could the Torah make that statement? After all, maybe the original owner did not go ahead and yet, what? Give up hope of recovering their object. And therefore, my sale is not a valid sale. Why is my sale not a valid sale? Because it will say you can't sell something that doesn't belong to you. Ela lav mishum damrinon stam gineva yeyosh bailini. What a powerful statement. Rabbi Loza says the Torah must be operating with the premise that, what, Rabbi Loza? Under normal circumstances, when an object is stolen, we assume most people experience yeyosh. When most people have an object stolen from them, we assume that most people, again, stam yeyosh, stam gineva yeyosh bailami. And therefore, again, I will say, now understand what's happening over here. You see, Rebbe Lozer is agreeing in principle with Rav Sheshas, that in order ultimately to be chayiv dalid vehei, what has to happen? There has to be yeyosh. Because otherwise, again, you're not selling something that's your own. You're not affecting a sale. He just has a variation of Rebbe Lozer, and he says, there has to be yeyosh, but what? We assume yeyosh happens under the normal course of activity. In other words, we assume that under normal circumstances, and I will say, when a person has something stolen from him, we assume yeyosh has occurred. And I will say, I want to be clear. Now, does this mean that in every single case of theft, the owners are miyayish from recovering the object? Is that what Rebbe Lozer is saying? No. I don't need it to be every case. What do I need it to be? The majority of cases. Stam means the majority of cases when something is stolen from a person, lemaisa, again, they despair of ever recovering the object. Therefore, Rabbi Lazar says, because of that, we assume that a stam case of Geneva has Yeush Bailim. Therefore, when the thief sells it, he's selling his own object, and that's why, again, he's going to be Chayiv Arba Bechamisha. So the Gemara says, the Dilma. So maybe the Torah is saying something different. Maybe the Torah is saying that even if the original owner didn't have Yeyosh, even then what? Maybe the Torah is saying that even if the owner didn't experience Yeyosh, you're still going to be Chayiv Dalid Vehei. To which the Gemara says, Lo, Sagadai Tcha Dumya Tetvicha. Because you must remember again, the Torah links Mechira and Tvicha together. Ma Tvicha Da'ahanu Masav. Rabbi will say, just like by Tvicha, my actions are valid. When I say valid, I don't mean correct. What I mean is what? Effective. Right? When I slaughter the animal, I have produced concrete results, meaning I have slaughtered the animal, now there's a piece of meat. Ach mechira dahanu masav. So too, I'm only going to be chayiv for an act of mechira. If what? If an act of mechira is a bona fide mechira. Which I will say, therefore again, v'ilif neyeyosh, mayahanu. And if we're talking about a case of lifnei yeyosh, then lemaisa again, how have my actions been concretely effective? The dilma, dishalinu diyayish, maybe we're talking about a case where what? We heard that the owner despaired of recovering the object, yeyosh, amrilo. Sagadait cha dumya de tvicha. Well, it has to be a case like where it resembles tvicha. Ma tvicha li alter. Well, say just as tvicha, again, you're chayiv abav dalid vehei, even if you slaughter it immediately. Af mechira la alter. Therefore, Rabbi say the case of mechira has to be what? Where even if the thief sold it immediately after the theft, that is considered to be a bona fide sale. Therefore, Rabbi say the only case that works is by what? Only if we assume that stam geneva geyosh bailamu. Only if we assume that a stam case of geneva ultimately again results in the yeyosh of the owner. Only Rabbi Yochanan geneva benefesh tochiach. Rabbi say let's compare this to a case of kidnapping. It's interesting. Let's compare a case of geneva of an animal to the gneva of a person. Watch this. She'ein yeyosh bailim. Rabosai, here's what's interesting. In the case of kidnapping, Rabosai, there's the assumption over here that what? There's no yeyosh bailim. Rabosai, now who's the bailim in this case over here? The bailim in this case, of course, is the kidnapped party himself. Right? If somebody kidnaps me, I'm not giving up on myself, meaning I'm not relinquishing ownership of myself to the kidnapper. And yet, the chayiv. Yeah, to Bosse, interestingly enough, what am I chayiv for kidnapping? Only if I kidnap someone and I sell them, I'm chayiv for that. Nichlal v'sav Rabbi Yochanan lifnei Yeyosh chayiv. Bosse, which Rabbi Yochanan would seem to say that what? That even before Yeyosh, ultimately again the thief would be chayiv. La'achar Yeyosh mai, or be the halacha for after Yeyosh. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayiv. So Bosse, Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayiv, even achar Yeyosh. Reish Lakish says you're potter. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayiv. So Rav Yochanan says you're chayiv. Why? Because whether you went ahead and you sold the object before Yesh or after Yesh, you're going to be chayiv. Reish Lakish Amar Patr. Reish Lakish is after Yesh, you're going to be patr. Why? Chiyuv lifnei Yesh. Because they both say the liability is only before Yesh. However, again after Yesh, kana. Reish Lakish holds that if you go ahead and you sell and slaughter the animal after Yeyosh of the original owner, you're going to be potter. Why? Because you are slaughtering and selling your own animal. So Rabbi Yochanan raised the kasha to Reish Lakish. So listen to this. A thief stole an animal. He was maktish the animal. And after he was maktish the animal, then he slaughtered it and sold it. What's the halacha? So we'll say the halacha is over here, that's what? You have to pay keifel for the act of theft, but you don't have to pay dalid vehe. Why don't you have to pay dalid vehe, Rabbi Yosef? Now the assumption is, why not? Because at the time that you slaughtered and sold it, who did it belong to? It belonged to Hekdish. And therefore, again, you're not going to be chayef for slaughtering and selling an animal that belongs to Hekdish. So what's the case over here? When was I makdish the animal? If I was makdish the animal before the original owner had yeyosh, then mi kadosh. Rabbi say again, can you be makdish an animal that does not belong to you? So lifnei yeyosh mi kadosh. So after all, ish ki yakdish es beiso kodesh am rachmano. So the Torah says, if a person will consecrate his house, ma beiso shalom. So say just like your house is yours. I have called shalom. So we'll say you can only consecrate things that belong to you. You can consecrate things that are not yours. El pshita li achar yeyosh. Rather, must be talking about what? After yeyosh. And I will say the only reason why what? The only reason why you have to go ahead and, excuse me, the only reason why you don't go ahead and pay Arba v'chamisha is because you consecrated the animal before you slaughtered and sold it. So dechi katavach, dehektish katavach, because I will say at the time that you slaughtered and selling it, you're slaughtering and selling animal of hekdish, of alo hekdish, but I will say if you were not makdish the animal, then what? Then lemaisa again, you would be chayiv ultimately for ba'arba v'chamisha. V'sakadaitcha yeyosh kona. But if you hold that yeyosh is kona, am I mishalim? Why would you have to be arba v'chamisha? After all, shalohu toveach, shalohu mocher. Rabbi said you are slaughtering and selling what? Your own animal. Amar le'acha ma'askinon. Listen to this. What's the case, Rabbi said? Kigon shek dishuhu bainlim. Biyad Ganav, Rabbi Yosef, is an amazing case. So that's the case of Rabbi Yosef. The thief stole the object. The owner realizes, I steal the animal from Reuven. Reuven realizes his animal has been stolen. So what does he do? He's makdish the animal when it's in my hands. Rabbi Yosef, now why does he do this? So the simple reason, well, I don't know why somebody would do this. I'm not such a holy person, so I would think the reason that person would do this is why? Why? Give an incredible shtach to the ganav, right? Because we'll say what happens now when the ganav now goes ahead and does whatever he's going to do with the animal. Guess what? Not only is he going to be chayev for stealing my animal kefil, but what? He's going to be chayev meila as well. I'm sure there are higher purposes why a person would do this. This is what I would do. Right? So the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, so ask the Gemara ultimately again, does this work? So the Gemara says, 1 second. Does this work? So that's the place where I was going to do about Umi Kadosh. So does Hekdish in such a situation like this work? In other words, so now we're talking about a case where the owner is Makdish the animal while it's in the possession of the Ganav. So Mara says, by the way, does that work? Can you go ahead and be Makdish something that is not in your Rishos? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gozal v'lo nesia Yeshua Bailim. So Rabbi Yochanan said that if I stole an object from Reuven and Reuven did not have Yeyosh, Shnehen, Einon Yecholim Lahakdish. Neither me nor Reuven can be makdish the animal. Why? Zelafi Shnei Shlosh. So we'll say I can't be makdish it. Why? Why? I'm the thief. It's not mine. The Zelafi Shnei Rishuso. Reuven can't be makdish it. Why? Because it's not in his Rishus. We'll say just. I want to pause for a second. Do you realize, by the way, how exciting this is? Like, this is mamish, like a Talmudic safari. Like, you don't know what you're going to see. Like, what's going to put its head in your window next? Like, we begin again, you know, with one thing. And mamish, like, we're all, it's like amazing. It's like being in a Talmudic candy store. Yeah, I want a little bit of this. You don't know what's going to happen next. So it says right now, listen to this. So now we've gone already from Yeyosh to figuring out, again, a case of Hekdish. So the Gemara says, if I steal something from Ruvain, so neither of us can be Makdish it. The owner can't be Makdish it because it's not his Rishos. I can't be Makdish it. Why? Because my it's not mine. So now remember, the Gemara wanted to say, let's go back for just a moment. The Gemara wanted to say that ultimately, again, the case over here, the case the Gemara brought down, can't work because Lamaisa, the owners wouldn't have the right to be Makdish the animal while it's in the Ganav's Rishus. Amri Hud, so the Gemara says, so the Fisha and Rishus, Amri Hud Amr Kitznuin. He must hold like the Tznuin. So both say, listen to this. Who are the Tznuin? So the Tznuin literally are the modest ones, which are referenced to the Tzaddikim. Listen to this. Both say, listen to how beautiful this is. You're going to see one of the most beautiful manifestations of Avas Yisrael. This Nan. Both say, listen to how beautiful this is. That I mentioned that it's beautiful. So Gemara says, this nan, hatznuin manichen asamos. Well, so listen to this. Gemara over here is talking about Karim Revai. The halacha is when you plant a vineyard, so the first 3 years of your vineyard, the produce is arla. So what happens with arla? What was with arla? Nothing. No one could eat it. The fourth year, this is dafka by a vineyard. A vineyard has a special status of what we call Kerem Revai. Kerem Revai, fourth year produce of a vineyard, is essentially like what? Essentially like Meiser Sheni. The owner could eat it, but what? It has to be consumed in Yerushalayim. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Savarla kitsinuin, darmina lekamon, bekerem revai, hatsnuna manichin, bnei adam chasidim, sherotsin lesalek yedei ka'adam mina avera, kesheyesh lo kerem revai, v'choshishin shema ochlin mimenu ovrei drachem lo pigyam. So both say, watch this. This is amazing. So remember, let's go back for just a moment. We said kerem revai, fourth year vineyard produce, it's just like Maaser Sheni. What's the halacha of Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni is mine, but I have to eat it in Yerushalayim. But what can I do with Maaser Sheni? I could deconsecrate Maaser Sheni on money. So if I don't want to take all of my Maaser Sheni produce to Yerushalayim, what I could do is, I could say that Maaser Sheni, the value of that is deconsecrated on these coins. You could do the same thing with Kerem Revai also. You could deconsecrate the actual grapes onto coins and take that money up to Yerushalayim. So watch this. So the Chassidim, the Tznuin, used to do the following. Ba'omrim, kol anilkat mizeh, yei mechulo al ha'ma'o sa'ilu. Vahare chazra, karen lebailim. So listen to this. So what the Tznuin used to do, Abosai, is at the end of every day, what was their concern? Their concern is that there would be people who would pass by every day, and what would they do? They'd pick off a couple of grapes. Some will say, now that's theft. You're not allowed to do that. Right? If you're a worker, that's one thing. But assuming you're not a worker, you're just a passerby, you can't take grapes. So what the Tznuin used to do every day was the following. They would set aside some money, and they would say, whatever grapes were plucked off today by people, we'll say, they thought people who stole from them, whatever grapes were plucked off today should ultimately, again, be deconsecrated on these coins. So the Karim Revai sanctity of those grapes should be placed on these coins, which then effectively means what? The grapes that were consumed today by the passerbys ultimately, again, were chulin, and therefore they did not transgress. So we'll say, do you see how beautiful that is? To be so concerned for another Jew, even though what? He's ganav, right? He's a ganav. He's stealing from me. I knew he was stealing from me, but you know what? Chances are maybe he has some difficult time, or maybe he probably didn't realize it. He probably thought they were wild grapes. I had barbed wire around it. Maybe it's not, maybe it's naturally growing barbed wire. You know, barbed wire means whatever. Maybe it's just a suggestion. Whatever it is, here, such a sensitivity to another Jew. I don't want another Jew to be a balavera because of my grapes. I just don't want it. Therefore, again, the Tznuin every single day would go ahead and set aside some amount of money to deconsecrate the grapes so that ultimately another Jew should not violate Gezel. The Gemara says, therefore you see that there is an opinion that says that you can go ahead and change the status of an item, even though what? Now, here there's even a bigger chiddush. What's the bigger chiddush over here? those grapes are long gone. It's possible, right? Those grapes were consumed. So that's even a bigger chiddush, right? Even though the grapes are consumed, ultimately, again, the owner could still change the status. So therefore, again, the author of the Braisa therefore holds, so too in this case, the owner of the animal could make it hektish, even though what? Even though it's in the property of someone else. So Mar says, 1 second. Vahare chazra keren labailim. Look at Rashi. Vahare chazra keren labailim. Ikeshek dishu bailim. So listen to this. So let's play this out. If that's the case, I stole from Reuven. And now what? And now Reuven goes in and makes it hektish. Now we're positing that according to at least one opinion, that hektish designation works. So let's play this out. Witnesses come along and they bring me to trial and I'm found guilty of stealing the object. What should be the halacha? I'm chayiv kefil. Why should I be chayv kefil? But it turns out that what? I was never really in possession of the Karen, right? Because ultimately the Bailin made the Karen hekdish. If that's the case, I don't really own the Karen. If I don't really own the Karen, then why should I be chayv kefil? To which the Gemara says, no, what's the case? Kisha'amad bedin. Rabbi said, the case over here, look at Rashi, Kisha'amad bedin, shebo edim kodim shikdishu Bailin. Rabbi said, the case is where the witnesses came, and I was brought to court before the owners went ahead and made the animal hekdish. So says the Gemara, hey chidami, what's the case? Eid the amritse tain lo. So if it's I was brought to court and the case was adjudicated and the Beis Din ruled and the Beis Din said, Silber, go and pay Reuven 200 zuz, right? Go and pay him the value of the cow that I stole. So my iria hekdish. Then who cares if the owner consecrated it or not? Afilo lo hikdish nami lo lechayve. I will say at that point in time that the Gemar Din, I will say we're going to see that there are different stages in judgment. If the Beis Din already ruled that I'm chayim and they gave me the command, go out and pay, then who cares whether the owner was makdish it or not? After all, again, afilo hikdish nami lo lechayve, do amar Rava. Say Tainlo, Rabbi will say, once the Beis Din rules that the Ganav is Chayiv to pay, and the Beis Din orders the Ganav to pay, Tavachu Makar Pater. Rabbi will say, this is actually amazing. So in this case over here, I stole, I was brought to court, I was deemed to be liable for theft, and I'm Chayiv Kefal. And Beis Din tells me, go and pay the aggrieved party. If I, after that Gemar Din, if that case, and if at that point in time, I then slaughter and sell the animal, I'm Pater. I'm Pater from Dalet V'chamisha. I'm Pater from Dalet V'hei. My time, Kevan te paskua le milsei, the tabach v'machar, havi de gazla. I was like, this is wild. Right? Another twist over here. Because I was like, once Beis Din goes ahead and finds me guilty and orders me to pay, I'm no longer a ganov. All right, I'm sorry. And I would go ahead and what? Slaughter and sell the animal. I'm no longer a ganov. What am I? I'm a gazlan. Because I must remember, a ganav is only what kind of case? Where I steal, slaughter, sell secretly. That's an chayiv dalet v'hei. Once I've been brought to court, found guilty in order to pay, I am no longer a ganav, I am a gazlan. If I am a gazlan, then what? A gazlan is not chayiv dalet v'hei. The gazlan eno mishalit hashlami arba v'chamisha. Amazing. Top of Samech Tes. So therefore, if the case we're talking about over here is the Maisa case of where I was brought to Beis Din, found guilty and ordered to pay, and then I go ahead and I slaughter and sell the animal, I'm not going to be chayiv dalet v'hei. We'll say also technicality, because then I'm a gazlan. I'm no longer a ganav. So top of Samech Tes. If it's a case of chayiv Atalitin though, I will say it's just where the Beis Din said, Beis Din found me guilty. I'm chayiv to pay, but the final judgment of actually telling me to pay has not been rendered. Then tavachu machar mishayim tashlami arba v'chamisha. Then I will say I still have to pay dalet v'chamisha if I subsequently go ahead and slaughter and sell the animal. My taima kevan de la paske milsei akate ganavu. Because we'll say, if the Beis Din's final verdict has not been yet been handed down, interestingly enough, the final verdict is considered to be what? It's considered to be what? The order to pay. Otherwise, we'll say, apparently in the verdicts of Beis Din, there are two stages over here. There's a being found guilty, and then there's, I guess what we call, Yeah, I guess like judgment and sentencing. I guess that's what it would be. So if it was just judgment, but not, so if it's just judgment, not yet sentencing, so if it's judgment and sentencing, I've now become a gazlon. If it's judgment but no sentencing, I'm still a ganav but not yet a gazlon. Therefore, after judgment but before sentencing, if I were to go ahead and what? If I were to go ahead and steal, or I should say slaughter and sell the animal, lemaisa, again, I would not be chayiv dalid vei. Let me say it differently. I would be chayiv dalid vei because I'm still a ganov. To which the Gemara says, lo tzricha, normally chayiv atalitin lo. I will say the case is where Beis Din found me guilty, and Beis Din ultimately said, you are chayiv to pay the aggrieved party. Therefore, again, so Rashi brings out over here, v'mbala behema lo hikdish, so therefore, again, ha-ganav haya chayiv dalet vehe. So in that case, Rabbi Osai, if the ganav would not yet have been makdish the animal, then indeed, again, the ganav would have been chayiv to ultimately pay dalet vehe. Rabbi Osai, we'll stop over here. So again, just understand what we did a lot today. So just understand what is still outstanding. So Rabbi Osai, so first of all, again, the bottom line as to when Yeyush is kona, when Yeyush is not kona, still has not been concretely resolved. The Mirat Hashem, we will resolve it tomorrow. What we have been introduced, so again, just to tell you all the variables. So when is Yeyush kona, when is Yeyush not kona? So that, again, is dependent on many different variables. Do you need a Yeyush and Shinui Rishus? Do you need Shinui Maisa? Everyone seems to say that if there's Shinui Maisa, if there's an actual change in the object, everyone seems to say that's what? That ultimately, again, allows for the acquisition of the Ganav. Shinui Hashem, is that enough or is that not enough? That we'll have to see. Although, I showed you yesterday in Reish Nun Gimel that it seems like the halacha says that wherever there is Shinui Maisa or Shinui Shem, the Ganav is Kona, because Rabbi Lazar has introduced to us literally a life-altering concept, which is what? That stam geneva yeyosh bailamu. Rabbi Lazar seems to say, because Rabbi Lazar, what Rabbi Lazar is coming along and saying is the following, that if you're going to start making yeyosh a case-dependent situation, Rabbi Lazar, that's a very hard metric. It's a very hard thing to measure. When does somebody have yeyosh? What doesn't somebody have yeyosh? Rabbi Lazar, therefore, seems to adapt the shita that we assume that when people have stolen objects, people have yeyosh, stam geneva, Yeyosh Bailamu. Rabbi Osei, if that's the case, then it also makes sense why the Torah ultimately goes in and says, Yechayev Dalet Vehei. Stam Geneva is Yeyosh Bailamu. Rabbi Osei, whether or not that is true in Mirat Hashem, we're going to have to continue with tomorrow. Just as an aside, the Gemara also introduces us to a brand new concept, which is what? The ability to be Makdish something even when it's not in your hands. It seems to be the consensus opinion is you can't be makdish something if it's not in your physical possession. Yet we saw, based on the tznuin of Yerushalayim, who ultimately deconsecrated Kerem Revai, even when it was not in their possession. Even when it was not in their possession. So we see that there is a shita that says that you could affect change of status of an item even when it's not in your possession. Therefore, using that logic, you should be able to imakdish something even when it's not in your possession as well. So therefore, again, and that leads the Gemara ultimately to its last discussion. So we'll see, Emir Sashim will pick up tomorrow, Emir Sashim, with this further discussion about Yeyush. But again, I just want to end off, we end off with a very powerful lesson of Avas Yisrael, as we've seen. That Avas, you know, is easy to love someone when they're nice to you and they're good to you. That's not the true measure of Avas Yisrael. The true measure of Avas Yisrael is when you're able to love someone even when what? Even when they mistreat you and even when they're not so nice to you. I want to be clear. We have no mandate to be doormats. Right? We have no mandate to say, I love you so much, please mistreat me. Right? If you do that, that's not good. A person has a lack of a proper sense of self. I would say, you know, people do bad things for all kinds of reasons. And if you believe at the end of the day that people at their core are good, that means when someone mistreats me, either with words or with maisim, chances are they've got something going on in their life that's allowing them not to feel good about themselves. Because people are good, and when people feel good about themselves, they do good things. And people don't do good things, I have to ask myself, what's happening in their heart, what's happening in their soul? I sometimes have to be able to see beyond what a person does and what a person says, and be able to see into their heart and see into their soul what they are. That's what the Tznuim Yerushalayim were able to do. The Tznuim Yerushalayim said, even though this guy is taking from my vineyard without my rishus, what a chutzpah. What a chutzpah. I worked hard on this vineyard. I wake up every single morning. You're just copying my grapes for 3 years. Remember, for 3 years I haven't been able to touch that vineyard. This is the first year I can go ahead and eat the fruit. And you have the chutzpah to come by and to pop a couple of grapes in your mouth. probably doesn't realize, probably doesn't understand. Maybe he was exceptionally hungry. Maybe it was pikuach nefesh. Rabbi said, that's Ahavas Yisrael. Sometimes to be able to see beyond the negative things that someone says, to see beyond the negative things that a person does, and to be able to see the beauty, the goodness, and the holiness that resides in the heart of every single Jew. We should be zochem Yeretz Hashem. It's no accident that we learned this during the 9 days. We should be zochem Yeretz Hashem to internalize it and live it ourselves.
Sounds like
they did it at the end of the day. Sounds like they did it at the end of the day.
One table over there.
Yeah.